welcome to Slapshot Podcast, episode number 8. I'm your host, Chris Ramirez. Thank you once again for joining me. And it's been a couple of weeks now since the last podcast. My apologies to absolutely nobody. I was in Mexico, not last week, the week before that. Mexico is beautiful if you've never been. Had a great time. Shout out to the Barcelo Maya Grand Resort for taking such good care of me and my friends. I had a great time in Mexico. I'm not excited to be back to the snow and the cold, but one must return to regular duties including this beautiful podcast. So yeah, I'm excited to be back, excited to be doing this. Couple of things have happened, right, since the last episode. Just a couple of things, nothing major. But we're going to take a look at that today. We're going to take a look as well at the Montreal Canadiens, specifically what is wrong with them. Because if you're not from the Montreal area, everything here is falling apart nicely because, you know, they're on a small, what now, is it 8-game losing streak after their most recent loss to the Bruins? It's been a mess, but obviously when things aren't going well in Montreal, everybody's going to get fired at once and, you know, everybody has their own idea of what they should do. But before we get to that, we're going to get to what's going on in the NHL with head coaches, specifically Mike Babcock, Bill Peters, and Mark Crawford. Because I was, like I said, I was in Mexico. I was on a beautiful beach when the Mike Babcock being fired from Toronto broke. And I was like, all right, well, fine, like they haven't been playing well. I didn't expect it to happen so soon. And then the story broke about what Babcock did to Mitch Marner. And let me start off by saying that, like, coaches, there are some old school coaches in the NHL, and slowly we're moving away from those. And when I read the story about what he did, I was shaking my head going, you can't be serious. Like, there's no way a human being would think that was a good idea. And little did everybody know that this would set off a chain of events that would lead to Bill Peters stepping down as head coach of the Calgary Flames, and now Mark Crawford being sent home by the Chicago Blackhawks as they internally investigate what he may have done to players. So obviously everybody knows what the timeline is, everything that's happened and blah, blah, blah. It's sad in a way because we live in a society now, like it's 2019, and these old school, like I said, these old school coaches of just belittling players to get the most out of them has no place in the sport, because the NHL does, and they promote it, and they speak about inclusion and trying to include people in the sport. And now we're starting to get a sense that, like, head coaches are excluding players and they're treating them like absolute garbage. No NHL player deserves to have any type of verbal abuse, let alone physical abuse. Like, again, the verbal abuse is wrong. Let's get that right out of the way. But coaches physically assaulting players, like on the bench, is mind-boggling. And in a sense, yes, the NHL has let its players down. But the organizations, specifically the Calgary Flames organization, the Carolina Hurricanes organization, have let their players down for allowing someone like Bill Peters to have a job in the NHL for as long as he's had. Because this started, right, for Bill Peters, and this one really kind of set me off in a way. Because Bill Peters, if everybody recalls, was the head coach in Carolina. And let's get the timeline here as well, right? Mitch Marner comes out, he confirms that has happened, right? That what happened with him and Babcock was true. Babcock apologized, he said it was true. And then other players start talking, right? And Ollie was one of them to speak up next. And he said, well, you know, this isn't the only, you know, Mike Babcock's not alone here. you know, Bill Peters kind of basically treated me like absolute hot trash and, you know, hit me, or I think it was he kicked him behind the bench, Hakeem Ollie. And again, Ron Francis was then asked the question, now who he's going to lead the group in Seattle to build their franchise. And he basically confirms it. He says, yeah, yeah, like it's true what happened. And that he reported it to the organization and that the organization handled it from there. Well, clearly they didn't handle it at all because he was still employed on this team. And Yuri Talusi as well, former NHLer, has come out and confirmed that he as well was treated like absolute trash. There's the Brent Sopel story as well about his time with Mark Crawford. Yes, with Mark Crawford, if I'm not mistaken, about how he treated him forever. Johan Franzen as well of the Detroit Red Wings has come out and basically just, like, it's heartbreaking to hear the story of how just how he did not, again, like it, I'm having a hard time explaining this because Johan Franzen basically just blatantly states that Babcock is the worst person he's ever met. And it's not just a player saying, well, I didn't appreciate the coach or I didn't like his style. No, flat out, this is the worst person ever. And he basically treated him like garbage for the entire time that he was in Detroit. And that is absolutely mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. First of all, I understand that the player, you know, didn't say anything and it's fine. Right? In a perfect world, he's able to speak up and say something to the organization. The organization is going to be able to do something as well. But now it confirms that Babcock was a dick in Detroit. I'm assuming he was a dick in Anaheim. He was a dick in Toronto. And just, I don't understand how, here's the scenario for regular people. This was the first thing I thought. So if you want to work at McDonald's, you got to go through a criminal background check and they're calling every single reference that you provide them. Like, they mandatory ask you for like two or three and they're calling everybody. This is to work at McDonald's, okay? I have a hard time believing that NHL GMs and ownership don't ask a former player, a former assistant coach, a former anybody of the team that they worked for before and say, hey, tell me a little bit about the character of this person that I'm going to hire. Because this doesn't seem like a secret, by the way. And other players have come out and talked about just the type of garbage that they've had to go through. And the like I said, the verbal and the physical abuse. The physical abuse to me is absolutely, it's, you can't accept it. And as an organization, you should not. And you should immediately terminate a coach. Immediately. The minute you find out that he's hit somebody. Like, it can't be right, man. Like, you're going to have, like, as players and stuff, you might get into a scuffle on the ice. And that's, you know, that's just emotions getting to you. But you, a coach hitting a player, kicking a player like he's done behind the bench, that can't happen. It can't happen, and I don't understand how teams don't know about it. Because playing the I didn't know card doesn't work. It doesn't, I don't buy it. I don't think it's fine. I don't think, even Ron Francis's excuse of I told management and they handled it. Well, they didn't. And you let your players down. And say, look, Bill Peters is, you know, he's an asshole. That's what he is now. And he resigned, which is, I guess, fine. Right? They did their due diligence in Calgary to figure out if it was true. Obviously, from the press conference that Brad Treliving gave, it was obvious that he did it. He gave a sorry excuse, or his press release of that letter that he had was an absolute, was garbage and a joke. He apologized to the Flames organization. He did not name Ollie, one, which is, that's the part that kind of bothered me. So you do not take ownership for what you said. and nothing really, it was a sticky situation. It was sticky. It was trash. I think the organization should have fired him much quicker. They did what they needed to do, and they took the time process. That was fine. But he basically resigned the next day after releasing that statement. And that, to me, just confirms that he probably did it. I believe that he did. I don't think there's any question that he didn't do it. I don't understand how, like I said, you need to go through a whole background check. Regular human beings get a job. You got to declare if you've ever been in trouble or whatnot. Or they're going to call references and see what kind of person that you are. And you're telling me, because let's not forget, Bill Peters didn't get fired from Carolina. He left to go to Calgary. So that means the Calgary Flames were interested in bringing him over. Like, they wanted to. That was the guy they were targeting, or they wanted to bring in. And you're telling me you have no idea what this guy's character is. And that's the same thing in Toronto for Mike Babcock with Lou Lamoriello. Kyle Dubas didn't hire him. Lou Lamoriello did. And he's not an idiot, Lou. And you're telling me you didn't check. You don't know what this guy's done, because there are lots of players saying it. And you could have easily found one anonymous source somewhere. One who comes out and says, yeah, it's true. So you didn't find one. And it sucks that this is what we're talking about right now, the culture of hockey. It proves that NHL coaches have a lot of power. Management has a lot of power. This has probably been happening for a really long time. Like, it's not new. I have a really strong feeling that Mark Crawford is going to be let go as well, because this isn't new either. Right? This isn't one of those things where all of a sudden, we just woke up. It's not even an isolated incident. It's not. Now we're starting to see that this is a trend. And it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. It sucks that players like Sopel, guys like Avery, guys like Carcillo, you know, say what you want about the character of Sean Avery and Dan Carcillo, right? They are who they are. But these are two players who are not afraid to stand up in front of the league and say where they've done wrong. They've done wrong themselves. But that, to me, is as players. I take their opinion of what they say, or when they say something like this happens. I mean, just even if you're not aware of the Mark Crawford stuff, like, Sopel comes out and says that Crawford has kicked him, choked him, and grabbed him by the back of the jersey. Like, that's how he choked, by pulling him on the back of the jersey while he played in Vancouver. I don't understand how these asshole coaches continue to get jobs. And there are quite a few of them, right? Let's not speculate on which other coaches might come on the hot seat. There's a couple of characters in the NHL that you look at and you say, man, you look like you would probably lose your shit. Mike Commodore hates Mike Babcock. And everybody just laughed at him a little bit, going, well, maybe you just didn't like him. Well, it looks like Mike Commodore was right. That's the sad part. Like, I wish he was wrong. But there's a part of me that's sitting there going, man, like, we laughed at you for a little bit. We called you overdramatic. But you may actually be right. And there are some players who are going to come out and say, well, I wasn't treated like that, or this coach was hard, or maybe I didn't, you know. Henrik Zetterberg has come out and he says, well, you know, Mike Babcock was how he was, and he was, you know, a tough coach and whatnot, and he had his character. But, you know, Zetterberg was the captain. Maybe he was treated a little bit differently than Franzen. But like I said, the part that I have a hard time understanding is how this physical abuse happens, especially in Carolina, where you know, players talked about it. They went to management and nothing happened. And these teams, in my mind, need to be held accountable. And it's not just enough to just fire the coach and say, okay, well, we'll get rid of him. Well, who hired him? Because if you're the guy hiring him and you're not doing your job to find out who you're hiring, then you're part of the problem. Straight simple as that. If you're a GM hiring an asshole head coach, then you have no idea the character that you're hiring. Because again, you go through the process of hiring a coach. Why don't you ask the opinion of just one person? Because again, all these players witnessed it. That means, so if I'm looking at it this way with Sopel in Vancouver or even Franzen in Detroit, like Franzen was there a while, so he probably went through a lot of teammates. He's not the only one. And to me, the Babcock situation, not that any of them is one is worse than the other, but Brendan Shanahan was in Detroit. And, you know, Babcock was there too. And you're telling me you didn't notice or you didn't see anything or you didn't maybe mention a Lou, because Brendan Shanahan was a big influence on trying to get Mike Babcock to come to Toronto. It's a fact. It's a fact. That's the type of player that's the type of person, head coach, you're bringing into your organization. I'm happy that he's fired now. I don't think he's going to find another NHL job. I can't imagine. Even if he does all the work and says that he's not who he is anymore and that he's changed and whatnot, there's no way any NHL team is going to go down that road. No way. Because the players are not going to respect him from before. Like I said, not an isolated incident. This is the character of who you are. You are this type of person. So he's not going to get hired. Bill Peters is not going to get hired either. I don't expect, you know, Mark Crawford to be behind the bench, because I don't think Brent Sobel's making this shit up. So he's going to get fired. And there's more, by the way. This is not going to end tomorrow. I don't know how many coaches are going to go down or how many assistants, but there's a couple. And again, this isn't just a head coach that loses his shit at one player and says some things. There are coaches here who are assaulting players in plain sight of other teammates. And I don't believe the tough love thing works anymore. It doesn't. Because there's comments everywhere. And of course, Twitter is a cesspool sometimes of garbage. And you see all these, you know, idiots saying, well, you know, being tough builds character and these coaches are trying to get the most out of their players. Shut up. That's not how you do it. That doesn't work. This doesn't build character. Verbally abusing anybody in general. Now, let's take the hockey player away from this. Let's just assume it's just regular people in life. You know, your mom, your dad, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your aunt, your nephew, your coworker. In no way. Imagine your boss at work verbally abusing you. Like, would you believe that he's trying to get the most out of you? No, it doesn't exist. And these cultures of people who do this doesn't work anymore. It does not. It never, maybe it did before, but this culture is changing. This boys club culture needs to be eradicated. Because younger players are starting to figure out, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't need, like, more and more now, I think players realize that they can take some of that power and they can do what they want. And this is an age where social media exists and you can get your hands on information real, real quick. And again, like, some people are afraid, who is it, Damian Cox said some garbage again that comes out of his mouth that, you know, oh, well, now every time you have a conversation with a player, you know, you're going to take it as public record. You don't have to worry about that being public record, Damian Cox. Like, you're literally the scum of the planet and the universe here. If you think that, you know, oh, well, now everything I'm saying is being heard, good. Because if you're not an asshole, you don't have to worry about that. If you're not a racist, there's nothing to worry about. There are probably some great coaches in the NHL who aren't racist, and they have nothing to worry about. And the only coaches who are worried are the ones who are doing it. And they should be denounced, and they should lose their jobs. And they, you know, like Dan Carcillo said, well, it's not about, you know, removing them from the game. Go get your help and then, you know, come back and be better. Fine, but that doesn't happen overnight, and I don't know if it's possible. I don't think it is, because what Carcillo's done to change his life, he had one of his, you know, threads on Twitter where he goes through and he says, yeah, I was a racist. I was mean at this. I got the help and I changed. Fine. You're one person. Kudos to you. Like, you did it good. I'm proud. But now you're retired. You don't have to go back into that culture. These are NHL coaches. They don't have an expiration date, really. They can coach as long as they want. And I don't believe at this point these coaches are going to change the way they do things to get the most out of their players. I don't think they will change. I don't think they will be better. And again, I don't know what team is going to sit down and say, yeah, I'm going to hire you. Because then the first couple of the barrage of questions is going to be about his character and about what he's done and whatnot. You can say, I've changed, I've learned, my bad, all that. Doesn't matter. There are players who are going to be like, nah, man. No, like, I've heard what you've done. And they may not accept them. Some will. Some may be like, hey, okay, I'll give you a chance. Or I don't know you, or you've never done anything wrong to me. But there are some who are not. And I don't know how many organizations want to go down that route right now. So I'm, again, to sum this all up, I'm happy that the players are talking. Because again, the NHL looks real dumb now saying hockey's for everybody and you're physically abusing your own players. Like, I don't know how many people are going to look at hockey and say, yeah, that's an inclusion. You know, I feel like I want to be part of this. Yes, you're including me in this. No, it's bad. I know there are other coaches coming, and again, denounce them all. Get them all out. Eradicate every one of them. I don't care. I don't want this to be part of the game. The boys' culture doesn't exist. It's 2019. You know, people are talking. Mental health is important. And that's the thing that touches, like, people who know me know my story with mental health. Can you imagine just being verbally abused for years? The type of mental toll that takes, not just for a hockey player, but just in general for people. Like, it's tough. And I want teams to do a better job of figuring out who they're hiring. Because again, I don't believe that you just wake up one morning and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that this guy did this. I didn't know this. Come on, man. Shut up. You know what's going on. And if you don't know, then you should not be allowed to run an organization. If you don't know the coach that you're hiring, get out of my face. You don't deserve to be on this team. You don't at all. So that's what I have to say about... That's what I have to say about that. Like I said, it's going to keep going. It's going to keep happening. But, I mean, just get them all out no matter how long it takes. So, next. First off, let me... Apologies in advance for the cat meowing. Coconut is the cat who wants to be part of the podcast. So, he wants to get his voice in. Let's crack this open. That's right. No, it's not beer. It's just a ice cold 7-Up. Delicious. Okay, let's talk about the Montreal Canadiens because, again, I'm surrounded by it. They're on a losing streak. They're giving up goals in bunches, and the whole city is just falling apart now. Everybody deserves to get fired now, and that's the one thing about Montreal. When it goes bad, it goes bad, and there are no shortage of news outlets that are out there ready to crucify Claude Julien. Marc Bergevin is on the hot seat as well. I mean, Carey Price is, I mean, thank God he's calm, cool, and collected because his name's being thrown out everywhere. And it's true that Montreal's gone on this kind of losing streak. And it's not they're falling apart. And I think the one that really hurt the most is the one in Boston, because they played two solid periods of hockey in Boston. They were heading into the third period up 1-0. The game was tight. Everything was fine. And then you could see the wave coming in the third period. And then David Pastrnak scores, which is just, you know, it's normal. He's completely tearing up the league. But you could see the wave coming. and they give up another one, and then they give up another one, and bang, they lose 3-1. But so far, they can't seem to get the job done. They're losing games. They're giving up goals. I think they've given up, I think Carey Price has given up like 38 goals or something in his lot in those games that he's played. Like, it's not good. And here's the conversation afterwards was, so as everybody knows, or maybe you don't know, right? Keith Kincaid was sent down to the AHL. And that's fine. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, but Keith Kincaid is not the problem. You're right. He's not. But he's damn well not the solution. Like, he has done nothing, absolutely nothing, to make this team better. And backup goalies in the NHL now are super important, okay? Ask the Toronto Maple Leafs how important having a backup goalie is. Because you have some teams who are built with good goaltenders, okay? Specifically the Boston Bruins. Tuukka Rask is their starter, but Yaroslav Halak is probably the best backup goalie in the NHL. Absolutely stellar, right? Thomas Greiss, Semyon Varlamov. There's something in the water in Long Island. Whatever Barry Trotz is doing is working. But again, two excellent goalies. And I'll even go as far as saying in Arizona, I know Darcy Kemper has come out as a starter, but Antti Raanta is not terrible as well. He's still trying to find his game. But again, good goaltending. And more teams now are starting to realize your backup goalie needs to be good. Munshaw went out to get a backup goalie who basically wasn't really good at the end of his time in New Jersey, did not play when he was acquired by Columbus, and so far this season, he's got a .424 goals against average and an .875 save percentage. So, there's not much that he's doing well. He has one regulation win, okay? In that regulation win, I think he gave up 4 goals. So he's not stopping the puck, and he's not giving your team an opportunity to win. That's problem number one. Problem number two, obviously, is Carey Price's numbers. Because he's got a .318 goals against average and an .898 save percentage. So his .898 save percentage, to me, is the problem. Goals against average, it is what it is. But again, a lot of people are going to look at Carey Price's contract, and he's making $10.5 million, and he's not stopping the puck enough for them to win. And this comes down to now the problem that is the Montreal Canadiens, because they are only as good as their goalie. And Carey Price now is below average. And this team looks below average. They do. And the Jonathan Drouin injury obviously doesn't help. He was playing some of his best hockey possible, and now he's not in the lineup. They're having a hard time scoring goal. Well, not that they're having a hard time scoring. They're not playing well defensively. That's the problem in itself. The Shea Weber-Ben Chiarot pairing has been an absolute dumpster fire of a pairing, yet it still happens. Victor Mete is now out of the lineup, so that also hurts. Jordan Wheel, Nick Cousins are on the top power play unit. Michael Pekka is called up because you got to get Michael Pekka in the lineup, right? And yesterday, right, when everybody was trying to figure out who was going to be called up, right, they decided to go with Primo instead of calling up Charlie Lindgren, which, again, I kind of feel like it's good if you give Primo the chance to play while he's here, okay? Because you sent Keith Kincaid down, right? What everybody talked about, or what Claude Julien talked about specifically, was we're sending him down so he can get his confidence back. Perfect. So if you're sending him to the AHL, you want him to play hockey. Which is fine, but it's coming at the expense of playing Caden Primo, and that's not what you want to do. This kid has played well in the AHL. He's been really good. And Charlie Lindgren is, you know, he's good as well. If I would have done it my way, I'm calling up Charlie Lindgren. And I'm saying, look, if you sit on the bench for a little bit, I don't find it as problematic. But now you're calling up Primo, and if you don't give him a start, then you've basically given him what? I don't expect Kincaid to be back for at least 2 weeks. I don't think so. Is he going to find his confidence in 2 weeks? Maybe not. Honestly, I would just leave him in the AHL. That's it. You leave, you know, Carl Alsner's there, so why don't you leave Keith Kincaid there, and why don't we call it what it is? He was not a good signing. Not one of Mark Bergevin's better signings. But they decided to call up Primo. So if you're calling him up, let him play at the NHL level. Let's see what he can do. Do we have the next goalie in Montreal? Is he the next one? Is he good? Is he good enough to be an NHL starting goalie, or is he not? But you're not going to find out unless you play him. And by playing him, you're going to give Carey Price some rest. Get him off his feet. Get his mind out of here. It's not going well. So take him out a little bit. Give him some time off. Just, you know, let him sit for a little bit. And you tell him, you say, look, man, this isn't a demotion. This isn't anything. We're not taking ice time away for you. Just clear your head a little bit, man. Take some time. Settle down. Let's see what the kid can do. And if Primo can give you anything that's good, then it's a cherry on top. Because he could maybe change the situation. And the team in front of him needs to be better. They need to be better. This isn't just a, well, you know, it's a phase. Fine. But now it's a phase that's starting to go on. And we know that Carey Price has terrible Novembers. Like, it's his numbers in November are so bad. So now it's December. So if you believe in that stuff, right, that those meaningless stats of whatever, some players struggling, whatever months, well, good news now, it's December. So does that mean you're not going to struggle anymore? I don't know. But something needs to happen. And for the Montreal Canadiens, it's been getting worse. Their power play is not getting any better, by the way. Okay, they're dropping. They're about league average. The good news is their penalty kill is still garbage. And, I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. Now it's still bad, but it's not as absolute garbage. But to put it into perspective, only the Detroit Red Wings have a worse penalty kill. Montreal is 30th in the league at 73.2%. And if you want to know why you're not having any success, giving up power play goals could probably be a good reason why. Like, again, that's probably, you know, you can't let those kind of things happen. You can't. You can't expect to be a good team when you're giving up more goals against than you're scoring. It's as simple as that. So what needs to change in Montreal? Let's go back to some of the basics. A, the Ben Chiarot, Weber, they were put together to try and slow down their opponents. Ben Chiarot is a decent defenseman. Let's stop pretending he's a top pairing one, okay? Because Weber's not as quick as he used to be. Chiarot's not any quicker. And that defensive pairing is getting train wrecked. So it's time to split them up. Olofsson's up in the NHL now, right? Kid coming out of Laval. Let's see what he can do. Give these young players the opportunity, because Marc Bergevin refuses to say rebuild. He's not calling it. He'll call it anything else, retooling, whatever other adjective you want to find. But he refuses to call this a rebuild. But they're on pace to miss the playoffs again. And that's four times in 5 years. So at one point, you're either rebuilding or you're not. And, you know, fans of Montreal now have been quite patient. Okay? Quite patient. But again, Gustav Olofsson is here. Cale Fleury is here. We have no idea what he can do as well. Brett Kulak has been decent. But somebody else, anybody other than Ben Chiarot with Weber would be decent. That's problem. That's number one. Number two, we need to end the Nick Cousins, Jordan Wheel top power play bullshit. We need to end it. I've been saying this since the beginning. I'm still talking about it because it's still happening. And it makes my life hurt. I can get behind the Joel Armia on the power play. It's taken me a year to accept it. But Joel Armia has played pretty well this season. He's done his part. So he gets the opportunity to be on the power play. Nick Cousins and Jordan Wheel don't. They don't deserve to be there. There's no reason why a fourth liner finds his way onto the top power play unit. End it. There are more than enough talented players on that team to get it done. You put your five best players on the ice. You give them a minute and a half power play. Figure out how you're going to score. Second, the penalty kill needs to be fixed. I don't know how they do this. I don't know. because it just seems, or, well, no, wait, let me correct that. It's not that I don't know how. I think their penalty kill is too passive. I think they need to be more aggressive. Is that going to solve their problem? No, but whatever they're doing right now is not working, and they're giving up too many goals. Too many goals on the penalty kill, that needs to end. If you correct just that, Carey Price has better numbers, they win more games, maybe we're not sitting here talking about it. Because again, you can fire Claude Julien if you want, but will that change much? I don't know. You can fire Marc Bergevin if you want as well, but that probably doesn't help, right? Montreal Canadiens don't technically have a president, right? Jeff Molson, the owner, takes over that. You could hire maybe somebody who's president to take over hockey operations. But again, that's not going to solve the problem on the ice. The problem on the ice is the players. And this is a team that plays well in transition. They do. And right now, nothing is transitioning pretty well. Thomas Tatar, Philip Deneau, Brendan Gallagher, that's your top line. Let it run. Just let it run as much as you need until you figure it out. Domi's gone back to the middle where he should be. Suzuki's playing top 6 minutes where he deserves to be. There's growing pains. I understand that. These are players learning how to play in the NHL. But they're giving up too many goals, and they need to tighten up. And the part that I want to stress here, really stress, is if you're gonna call up Caden Primo to sit on the bench, then you're hurting his career at the expense of Keith Kincaid. And Keith Kincaid is not a good backup goalie. He's not a good goalie, period. He is no better than Antti Niemi at this point. So you have no backup goalie in Montreal. And is Primo the solution? We don't know. But you need to give him some starts. If you're calling him up here so he can sit on the bench, I mean, forget it. Give him an opportunity to play in the NHL. Let's see what he can do. If he gets train wrecked, fine. He's a young kid. He's still learning here. But give him the opportunity to play in this league. They have to. Because if not, this season is going to fall apart real quick. And I'm recording this now. It's Tuesday. So Habs have a date with the New York Islanders, who are not giving up any goals and winning games. So if they lose that game, now you're at what? 9 losses in a row? 10? You're starting to pile, like, they're starting to pile up pretty quick there. There's a lot of losses in a row. And is firing Claude Julien going to solve the problem? I don't think so. Depends what you replace him by. And honestly, doesn't look like there's that many great coaching options available out there. Or at least coaches that don't abuse their players physically and verbally. So I think the solution is in that room. I think these players have to tighten up a little bit. But that, to me, those three things, the Sherratt-Weber pairing needs to end. Nick Cousins, Jordan Wheel off the top power play unit, and giving Caden Primo some starts could possibly make this team better. It can. Maybe it doesn't. Again, I'm no NHL coach. But try something. Just try something different. Go with something that who knows what can happen. That's my opinion on this. And before I leave you, if you haven't been around your computer yet, well, again, depending on when you listen to this. So John Hines, former head coach of the New Jersey Devils, was fired today. It doesn't really surprise me, to say the least. The Devils are an absolute train wreck of a hockey team. They got dismantled. What was it? Was it yesterday they got dismantled? Yes, it was Monday. They got dismantled 7-1 at the hands of the Bruins. They're a train wreck. This was a team that everybody thought was going to be real good this season. They haven't been able to score goals, okay, which is, that's a problem in itself. They're giving up goals like it's going out of style. They don't have a goalie. They don't. I mean, Corey Schneider's in the AHL. Mackenzie Blackwood's yet to take the job. Let's not think Louis Domingue is any good, okay? The Devils have 2 goals more than the Detroit Red Wings. And the Detroit Red Wings are really the bar of what is garbage. I'll give Detroit, I mean, I'll give the Devils a little bit of credit. They have two goals more in four games. You know, they played four less games than the Detroit Red Wings, who are, by the way, the Detroit Red Wings have a 0.283 winning percentage. They are on pace to finish with below 50 points this season, which is bonkers. I mean, they're a garbage team. I know that. They're without Mantha. Their blue line's a little bit banged up. But holy shit, is that bad. But let's go back to the Devils, okay? I'm getting off topic here. Let's stick with the Devils. So John Hines is fired. That's that. This is a team as well that there's a lot of talk about Taylor Hall, and he's in a contract year. He's not going to sign a contract with the Devils if they play like this. If they are this bad, he's not resigning. This then brings up the question on whether you should trade him or not. Because I think Taylor Hall's made it pretty obvious that he wants to win. Like, he was part of that shit Edmonton team that just kept losing. He's now in New Jersey where they also keep losing. So, again, it's just, I mean, it sucks if you're a Devils fan. That's what I'm going to say with this, because this team should give you more, right? You drafted Jack Hughes with the number overall pick 2 years after taking Nico Hischier with the first overall pick. You went out to get PK Subban, who's a really good defenseman. Taylor Hall is, you know, who won MVP in 2018, is on your team. And for whatever reason, they're just not that good. They're really not that good. And the problem is they're definitely in goal. They need a goalie. They need to find, and again, acquiring goalies is quite hard. Can you get a goalie for Taylor Hall? I don't think so. I don't think many teams are going to trade an established goalie for Taylor Hall. Right? You don't really trade top talent goalies. You kind of go out and sign them in the offseason when they become unrestricted free agents. So I don't know what's going to happen there. Can the Devils still make the playoffs? I mean, technically, yes. They've played 26 games, but they're falling about. The hole that they've dug themselves into is, again, it's a big hole. They have 8 regulation wins. Again, only Detroit has less. They don't have a good penalty kill. They're all right in the goals for per game. Again, nothing great, because again, I mean, they're 29th, right? They're all right, but they're all right bad. All right, so you're 29th in the NHL in goals for, and the only team giving up more goals than New Jersey right now is the Detroit Red Wings. And to go back to Montreal, Montreal is 3rd in the league right now in goals against per game. So Detroit gives up the most by a large margin. New Jersey, Montreal. So, like, there's a problem. There are other teams in that, you know, in there that are, that's problematic, right? Tampa Bay is on that list as well. They're 7th in the league in goals against per game. Toronto is 9th. Nashville is 10th. Like, Nashville is giving up a ton of goals. Like, the Ottawa, again, just to put this in perspective, Nashville, Tampa Bay, Florida, Montreal gave up more goals per game than the Ottawa Senators. And everybody expected that team to be a hot mess. The Ottawa Senators can't score on the power play. Their penalty kill is decent, and at least they're being competitive somewhat-ish. Like, they're not getting train wrecked. So there's a lot of things that need to happen in Detroit for them to turn their season around. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I mean, firing John Hines is, I guess, it's a wake-up call, and at least it's Ray Sherrill at least telling the team that he doesn't think that this season is lost. He's probably doing it to make sure that he can get some type of reaction out of the team. He's also doing it to show maybe Taylor Hall says, hey, I'm serious about trying to win this. I'm serious about trying to keep you as well. And we're going to find out over the next few weeks if Taylor Hall is actually serious about wanting to stay here in New Jersey, or if he would like to get the hell out of there. And I think he's going to want to get the hell out of there if this team doesn't turn around or at least be competitive in trying to hunt down a playoff spot. But we shall see, shall we? It's far from over. So yeah, that wraps up episode 8 of Slapshot Podcast. As always, this is a pleasure. I'm so happy that I get to do this and we get to talk about a little bit about hockey. You can follow Slapshot Podcast on Twitter at Slapshot Podcast, right? You can follow me on Twitter at FuzzyChris91. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the podcast on your favorite platforms. You can find it on the Apple Podcasts. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Stitcher. It's on YouTube as well, right? Not as a video, but as an audio. So if you are of the YouTubes, you want to listen to it there, you can listen to it as well. You can listen to it on Podbean. If all goes as planned, right, my life is starting to balance out a little bit here. I should be able to do a podcast every Monday. Every Monday I should be able to do one. So I'm hoping I can keep that trend, regular. Like I know I try to do it once a week. Stuff happens in life, but I'm hoping that I can get podcast out every Monday. That way you, the listener, get a regular listening of me talking about stuff that maybe you don't want to hear. Speaking of things maybe you don't want to hear, you can always tweet at me. You can tweet at the podcast. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. Tell me if you want me to answer something that you have on your mind. I'm always open to suggestions. I don't care if they're good or bad ones. If you like the podcast, if you hate it, just tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. I'll try to get to it. If you have a question, I'll answer it on the podcast. It's my pleasure to do it. And thank you for joining me. And we will talk to each other next week. Bye-bye.